Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Man, if we could ever do a radio show from outside, today would be the day. But we are in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sanner, along with Andrew Abbedy. Michael Mergen's producing the show today. Bob Getty is off. To come this hour, we're going to be joined momentarily by Natalie Poole, head softball coach at Southern Miss. What a great story the softball team is. A couple of years ago, before Coach Poole was here, the team was the punchline of about every joke that you could come up with.
And at a low, I think is a nice way to phrase it.
Yeah, kind of the same thing we're talking about here. And in just not even 2 years to where they are, and we're gonna unwrap that a little bit in just a second. But it's just a great story. And then later on in the program, the voice of the Texas State Bobcats, Brant Freeman, will be joining us as the Golden Eagles head to San Marcos to take on Texas State in a pivotal Sun Belt baseball matchup this weekend.
Two pivotal matchups with Texas State this week.
On both sides. Yeah. One at home, which the Eagles softball team will be hosting, and the men will be on the road. This first segment brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, as it always is. Cooked here and loved everywhere at Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a big supporter of Southern Miss Athletics and this program. Leave your next catering event, whether the spring game or wherever you might be headed tomorrow, or the softball park. Grab a little bit of a Dickey's Barbecue Pit and enjoy it there at the field. And we thank them for their continued support. As we mentioned, Coach Natalie Poole joins us now. And Coach, you really are the toast of the town right now. And look, not to underline the obvious too many times, but it's so much better. It's so much more fun when things are going well, and you guys seem to be clicking on all cylinders. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the progress that we've made. Even as we talked early in the season, you know, we put our team up against some really tough opponents, and to come out of that and to still be climbing and not be sitting in this place, like, where I think we've just continued to grow through the season, and that's been a lot of fun to watch.
Coach Poole, I mean, you're – lineup is just red hot right now. It feels like from top to bottom, Michaela Fox is the hitter of the week, but I mean, she's just one of many that have just been swinging it really well. What do you point to for that recent success?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, just continued progress, like, weekly. Like, we still are working on developing swings and adjusting swings, and then we also are genuinely preparing for our opponent. And so we spend early parts of the week kind of cleaning up some things, working on some things, but we get right to work on how we're going to prepare for someone's number one and their number two and what that looks like and how we do that. And so then we work, you know, specific pitch profiles with our kids off of machines, off of arms, off of all of the things, and then we start working some situational things. And yesterday we scrimmaged, just kind of staying with the whole midweek thing that we're done with now. We don't play midweek now, so we're trying to kind of simulate that. And so in the end, just genuine preparation, just talking about what we're going to face. We believe knowledge is power, and we've got to utilize that and then prepare for it so that these kids feel confident going into the weekend.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things that seems to get lost in the shuffle too is confidence. I talk about this all the time, but man, what a piece of the puzzle. When you're playing well, what does confidence mean, and how does it personify itself, Coach Poole?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the confidence is that no matter, like, what my obstacles are, that there are solutions. You know, I think that they lack the ability to think that they can kind of overcome situations when they, one, don't believe they have the tools, and then number two, like, they haven't kind of worked through some things. So, and that's why kind of where we talk about, like, we go through in the early week, and we are working through some really challenging things. We put them on the best of what we can throw them, whether it be speed or whether it be break on pitches and things like that, where they have to work through a couple of tough days and then sort of land in this place where they've started to solve some problems. So then they don't see the weekend problem solving as difficult. So then that provides confidence as they start to approach what they're going to see. And then when that happens, then they go, oh, okay, well, I didn't quite do this in this particular at-bat, but I see the pitches, I understand what I'm up against, and this is my adjustment. And then to us, that sort of brings about this level of I can achieve, even if the road is hard.
And to show you where this team has come from, and Andrew was working numbers before the show, if things work out this weekend in the Sun Belt, listen to this, Southern Miss fans, the Eagles could be potentially,
and assuming what happens to the front runner in Georgia Southern, they could be tied. I mean, like,
for first place.
Yeah. I mean, and that darn South Alabama team, if that doesn't happen, they're comfortably in a four-way tie for second place. Now, that half game could hurt, could help, probably not help, but we'll let bygones be bygones at this point, or I'll rant about it after you get off the show.
That's been kind of stuck in your bonnet for a while.
I understand the Sun Belt, and not to put Coach Poole on the spot, I understand the Sun Belt not allowing games to be made up in the midweek, but if you're a team that has to cancel a conference game, I think you should have to prove that you did everything in your power to play that game, because if it's proven that you didn't, then you should be handed a loss. That's
Andrew Abbott in 2026, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I think it's both ways. I mean, but seriously, if you're the home team, you have that call.
One of the reasons why, like, sometimes we have to try to play on the conservative side. We've got to anticipate that if things don't go our way as the weekend kind of progresses, unfortunately, like, we have to front load sometimes, and it sucks. Nobody really wants to do that. Nobody wants to have to start off the weekend with a doubleheader or look to do that on a Saturday, but it can be highly risky here towards the end. And if there is a difference in our positioning simply because of one game, win or lose, we still have the chance to play the game, then, you know, we have to do our job in that, but we still have the same number of games as other people, you know, and so that does make it hard. And I think that I've been, you know, fussed at before because I've made a call to play a game or not play a game, and then the weather's turned out one way or the other. But I typically am on the kind of the side of let's make sure we get them in, even if it causes us to kind of, just like we had to do with ULM. You know, we did that this past weekend. Like, you know, we both talked about, like, we don't really want to have to do this, but let's do it. So we set a single game for Friday, played the double on Saturday, and rain is what it is, but no matter what, we did not lose a game. You know, and that needed to happen.
One of the things, speaking of being fussed at, that you probably had to deal with too, was people second guessing the scheduling of these tough teams at the beginning of the season. Because and your young ladies responded to it, because they've gotten better, but there were probably those in the Eagle Nation that were going, what, we're trying to build a program, what are we doing playing these teams? But all's well that ends well.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, we were kind of mad at ourselves in a way, because, you know, it's, you don't really know how things are going to turn out in tournaments, but, you know, I don't know, maybe we should have put our foot down a little bit more about, you know, we won't come unless we get this particular schedule, those kinds of things. And, you know, it did. The schedule landed tougher than we even thought that it was going to be, knowing that we were going to have Mississippi State in a midweek and Ole Miss in a midweek and things like that. Those other games, just, it just, man, we just took it, you know, and because we needed the games. I mean, we're still short, believe it or not, two games on the year. Like, we're missing games because we couldn't quite get enough games scheduled on the weekend. You know, we landed up being some tough opponents, you know, back to back, and we made it through it. And I am unbelievably proud of us for that, because I do think that because of that, we lost a few games in there where we could have won a few games sprinkled in there, but we just quite had not figured out how to win. You know, we were in some games and we were in some moments and things like that, but we had, at that point, had not felt enough of the win space to be able to know how to do that consistently. So I am unbelievably proud of the girls.
And I think as a testament to that, if anybody watched the ULM series, I mean, that was, first of all, those first, even the third game, they were exciting softball games. It's probably stressful for you, Coach, but I mean, to see your team answer back after finding themselves in holes, and you know, I guess that's going to be the identity of your team. I know you've got solid pitching, but, you know, your lineup, they're going to give up runs. But if your lineup can cover it and then deliver some, I mean, that seems to be your winning formula. I mean, is that kind of the identity you embrace moving forward?
I'll tell you what, Coach, hold that thought, okay? And then if you've got just another minute or two, we'll hold you over to the second segment of the program. Great. A reminder that Mobe Beignet Company is a sponsor of this program as well. You can check them out on Facebook at Mobe Beignet Co., Mobe Beignet Company, .com in Hattiesburg. And Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. We'll continue our softball discussion with Coach Natalie Poole after this timeout. The Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Still to come, we'll have a preview of the spring football game scheduled for this Saturday. We'll also check in on Davis Riley from Hattiesburg, who's playing in his first ever Masters golf tournament, the first round of the Masters today. Tomorrow on the program, Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. Whatever shall we ask him? Tomorrow on the program, the only thing I would say, Andrew, is we only have an hour, so and that won't even touch necessarily all the things that we have to ask him. But you said going into the break, kind of restate the question, if that's not an oxymoron there.
Yeah, no, definitely not an oxymoron.
Yeah, for sure.
So like we were talking about, Coach Poole, your team has really seemed to embrace the identity of just, you know, having solid pitching, but that lineup has been able to really cover for them and really deliver when you guys have needed it in the big moments. I mean, is that the identity you feel like at this point that your team has maybe needed to embrace?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've continued to expect, you know, more and growth from our pitching staff and for them to step up in some moments, and they have. And then offensively, just kind of whatever it takes to make it happen. And again, you know, finding solutions to get rid of pitchers and to move on to the next pitcher and those kinds of things, and just kind of answering a lot with our offense. And so I'm really proud of the growth that I've seen in our offense over over time during this season and the confidence that I'm seeing in that space. I'd like to see us playing better defense. I don't think we brought that last weekend with ULM, and I think it was costly. And our pitchers need that. Like, we've got to be able to back them up, but I am proud of our offense. In moments where our defense has kind of fell apart for our pitchers, that our offense has stepped up.
Now, you've got Texas State coming in here this weekend, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday. The weather looks to be impeccable this weekend, Coach, but there's more than just games for the Eagles softball team. There's going to be some honorary guests and a lot of other side activities going on besides the games themselves.
Yeah, we look forward to hosting Texas State. As we know, they're always a postseason, you know, contender. And so we're excited about hosting them here at our place. And then in addition to that, we'll be honoring the alumni of Southern Miss softball program from years back all the way to its inception. And then also a special recognition of our 2000 class that went to the Women's College World Series. We're going to be honoring them as well and are excited to have all of them here. We're going to be mingling and mixing with our current players and families and then our alumni, so it should be a great weekend.
To talk more about Texas State themselves, again, they're in that big way tie for second place. They're second in the Sun Belt. You did play the team that leads the Sun Belt in pitching, which is Georgia Southern. Texas State sitting with a 2.93 ERA. They lead the league in strikeouts. Like I mentioned, you already faced probably the best pitching staff in the Sun Belt, but this is a good one. I mean, what do you kind of expect from them this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Azua is their number one, and literally, like, she'll throw a seven-inning game, she'll come in and close the second game, and then she'll throw the third game. And so they are highly reliant upon her, and she looks very similar to Jay in a lot of ways, Jaina Lee, who throws for us. She's a lefty. She looks similar in pitch profile. And so for us, it's like, okay, we've seen this. It's going to be tough. She does lead the league in strikeouts, but we're on a mission, right? And so we're watching video, and we have all week long, kind of coming up with some solutions and what we're going to do. And we've got to get after. We've got to be able to get after her. We know that that's part of the thing from an offensive standpoint.
And for context to the listeners, Azua has literally accounts for half of Texas State's innings thrown this season. I think if my math is right, which is, I think, 123 out of 240, so even more than that. But and similar question. I mean, they have a really good hitter, too. What's her name? Elena Coleman. She's hit well over 400. What do you kind of expect from this lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to kind of have a combination of some slappers and hitters. They don't have quite the lineup that they did last year, but, I mean, I expect them to be tough. I expect them to be well-coached, and I expect them to try to get some little speedier people on, and then Coleman come to the plate. Coleman is hitting over 400. She's got 5 doubles and 12 home runs. And so, like, this is a kid that knows exactly who she is and what she wants, and she can hit both strikes and pitches out of the zone. And so our goal is to keep the ball in the yard and to kind of minimize the damage that she can do and not let the game be dependent upon one hitter that comes to the plate.
Well, if you'll tell me what car she's driving, Coach, me and my buddies will make sure she has a little accident, capiche? But anyway, after this weekend, and I know all the games have to be played, but really, it's very workable, the rest of the schedule after this weekend, yes?
Yeah, we play JMU, we play App State, we've just got to go in and, you know, take care of some business as we continue to move through this, and we've got to be on it. And we also play UL and those three last remaining series, and really kind of everybody's been a little bit up and a little bit down, and so we've got to go after it, and we've got to be on a mission, stay on the mission, and not lose sight of it.
And although you're playing UL at UL, they're not the UL they've been.
They are not. Their team was sort of, you know, torn apart whenever Jerry Glasgow left and went to Texas Tech, and he took some of his best. A few others went a couple other places, and a couple good ones still remain that they had in their lineup, but they are not built the same. And so we have to go in with a really good mindset of, owning the series and not expecting things to be the way that they were before. So we've got to go get it.
But looking at, and I'd say this is probably the biggest weekend series in who knows how long for Southern Miss softball. I mean, what's kind of the message to your team this week? I mean, if you guys win the series, of course, preferably sweep. I mean, you could very well find yourself in the driver's seat.
Absolutely. And, for this team, and I'm speaking honestly, this team, it's been a really long time since I think they've sort of been in this position. And I don't want them to overthink and then tank, but I want them to understand that they are in control of their path and for them to make sure that they control the things that they actually are in control of and to be ready for that and for it not to be handed to them. And that's one of the things we have had conversations consistently about is nobody is going to feel sorry for you. Nobody cares what you're trying to achieve. Like, you have to go get it, and people want it just as much as you do. And we've talked a ton about that. Like, you have no idea what chip somebody has on their shoulder, why they play the way they do, what they want, and if that's more than how you want things. And so our job is not to assume that we want things more than the person across the field and then to go out and do our thing.
But this is just part of learning how to win. It's one thing to learn to win games, but now you got to learn to win championships and conference titles and things like that.
That's exactly right. And there's differences, I think, like learning to win. I think we did that earlier on, and now it's like, okay, we are helping ourselves be in a position, and now we've got to make sure that we go get what we wanted, and we said we wanted this. We right. really did before the season even came here. So it's not a question of that we're achieving more than we thought, but we're closer to it than we have been, and so what do we do with that?
If the best happens this weekend, Coach Poole, I think without a doubt you would be in line for a significant and substantial raise.
Hey, you have that conversation next week with Jeremy, right? And
for the listeners, the softball game will be played after the spring football game, so make it a whole day, right?
Absolutely. We moved our game back because of that. So, like, to make sure that, we've got a chance to play this game and, and to have fans there and people supporting and, and all that. And so we want people to not have to choose.
This might be the first game of the year, though, that sunscreen is a must coming out this
Definitely
weekend.
Definitely a must.
Yeah, that sun's starting to bear down on us a little bit. Coach Poole, we wish you nothing but the best. Yes. Thrilled for your success.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. And as always, as fickle Southern Miss fans can be, we are with you win or tie.
Thank you so much. I feel your support.
Yeah. All right, Coach Natalie Poole, everybody, of the softball team. And Andrew, two or three times I wanted to call them the Lady Eagles, but as you correctly stated last week, the only women's team at Southern Miss that uses the Lady moniker anymore is the basketball team.
Yeah. Fun fact, when I was a college student, Wendy Hogue, who was the then softball coach, explained that discrepancy to me. And then later, Joy Lee McNellis did too. So it's from
whatever
their
right?
words, not
That's
mine.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Like, and whatever they want. If they want to be called. I know Pearl River dropped the Lady moniker long ago. So it's just, and from a broadcaster standpoint, it's always easier just to remember. Not like it was difficult to remember Lady.
What are you trying to say, Kelly?
But I'm just saying, it's just Wildcats now. You don't have to worry about it.
And I did play by play for softball for a year, so I really had it ingrained. It's just it's second nature.
But if they continue to do what they've been doing, this is a great story.
Oh yeah, I was trying to do the math. I think they were at 4-11. Now they're 20-19 and 8-4, whatever the half game is.
Well, that's that new math, Andrew. Neither me nor Michael understand that. But when we come back, Brant Freeman, who's the voice of the Texas State Baseball Bobcats, is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about that big series this weekend as the Golden Eagles head to San Marcos and Sunbelt play. Baseball, the topic of discussion when the Eagle Hour continues after this break.
We'll be right back. Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where they debuted live music on Friday and Saturday last week. Went really well. So if you do like that nice vibe, it's live music, but it's quiet enough to where you can engage in conversation and not have your ears explode. 4th Street Bar and Grill, where every Southern Miss game of every sport that's available on the ESPN Plus format is always on the big screens, and home of the $11.95 Blue Plate Lunch. Joining us now is Brant Freeman, the voice of the Texas State Bobcats. He'll be on the call this weekend on ESPN Plus as the Golden Eagles head to San Marcos to take on the Bobcats. And you talk about we just got done, Brant, talking about a big softball series here at Southern Miss with Texas State this weekend. Man, this baseball series in a team. And when you look at these two teams, it's kind of a tale of two cities where you've got the Bobcats that are playing really well, and dare I say the Eagles not playing certainly what they're capable of doing. What's going right, Brant, right now?
Yeah, you know, I think Texas State's really pitching extremely well, you know, especially this past weekend, the series at Louisiana, highlighted by the Saturday complete game shutout from Jesus Tovar. You know, they have a really good 1-2 combo right now, the weekend rotation between Alex Valentin and Tovar, a couple of guys at the start of the year as midweek pitchers. You know, Tovar was a midweek starter, and Valentin was a reliever, you know, who did a lot of his damage as a long reliever midweek games. And the two of them actually, you know, helped lead a couple of wins early in the year against Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. You know, but they pitched so well, they got promoted to the weekend rotation, and both have been pitching extremely well. You know, they got two really big midweek wins over the past, you know, 10 days or so, you know, beating Baylor on the road in Waco on Tuesday, and the week before that going to Texas and getting a win there. So, you know, they've been playing really well from a pitching standpoint. The bats are still struggling a little bit, but they've been doing just enough to get some wins. So, you know, they're playing, you know, some of the best baseball season right now.
And it was a team that, when you, depending on who you talk to, was most prognosticators thought that the Bobcats were probably going to be in that top third of the Sun Belt, but didn't get that start that they did. But clearly, even though, as you mentioned, they're not hitting well, they appear to be clicking on more cylinders than before, because if they're only hitting as a team 243, but yet they're still winning games, they're doing a lot of things right.
Yeah, they really are, you know, but as you pointed out, it didn't start that way, you know, in conference play. They opened the year in Boone. It's not an easy place to play, you know, in Boone, North Carolina. App State plays really well there, and they got swept in the three games. They come home the weekend after that, and they counter back with a sweep of their own against Arkansas State, so maybe feeling a little bit better. Then Coastal Carolina comes in, and their pitching is really, really good this season, and Coastal won the series 2-1, you know, and then you look at the upcoming stretch, you know, you go from Coastal to having to go to Lafayette to hosting Southern Miss, you know, and you worry the season might be getting away if things don't turn around pretty quick. But the series in Lafayette, I think, really helped the confidence a lot. You know, as I said, a pitching standpoint, they pitch extremely well against the Cajuns. And something else that we haven't pointed out yet, you mentioned the hitting numbers, and I've talked a lot about the pitching. Defensively, Texas State has been one of the better defensive teams in the Sun Belt all year long. They've been in the top 20 in the country in fielding percentage for a good chunk of the season, you know, so I think that really helps with the, you know, with the pitch, on the pitching standpoint as well. Reason why you see a lot of, you know, low scores in the games they're involved with. They play really good defense, so, you know, they're coming into this series feeling really good about themselves.
What has worked with this lineup, though? Obviously they're scoring runs to win games, naturally that's the game, but when things are going for them offensively, despite that 240 average, what happens? What has it looked like for the Bobcats?
It typically starts at the top of the order, you know. Then they've made some changes a little bit in the lineup, like everybody else has with this time of the year. But, you know, typically in the top three in the order, you'll see, you know, Ryan Farber, really good sophomore player for them, had an outstanding freshman year last year for Texas State. Chase Mora for them as well, you know, a junior player who a couple of years ago was one of the better freshmen of the Sun Belt Conference. If those two are traditionally getting on base, it really sets a lot of things up for the rest of the offense. So it really kind of starts at the top of the order. The power tends to come from their catcher, Ian Collier, sometimes spend some time at DH. He typically hits in the middle third of the order. But they got runners on base for him to be productive, kind of thing. You know, for him to drive in his runs. They've also experimented with some other players out of the lineup, guys that were hurt early on in the year are now kind of slowly making their way back out of the lineup as well. They have a really impressive looking second baseman, Dawson Park, freshman player that's had some really good at bats so far this season. But you know, really, when it comes down to it, you know, how are they successful offensively? It's got to start with the top of the order. If those guys don't get on base, they struggle to score.
Brant Freeman is with us. He's the voice of the San Marcos, Texas State Bobcats out of San Marcos. I want to ask you, Brant, about the transfer portal and about NIL. Southern Miss's programs have been greatly affected. Whether it's negatively or positively is certainly up for debate, but football and basketball, particularly at Southern Miss, have been greatly affected by transfer portal and NIL. But baseball has been almost unscathed completely as far as that goes. How has it been at Texas State?
You know, it's been a mix. You know, they've been able to hang on to some guys, but they lost some others to the portal as well. You know, they had a really good third baseman a year ago, Aaron Lugo, who they lost in the portal to University of Houston. Had a really good first baseman as well, Daylon Pena, who they lost in the portal to Oregon. But they held on to the Chase Moores and the Ryan Farbers of the world as well. So it's been a mix, you know, from a baseball standpoint in terms of keeping guys and losing guys to the portal. But this is kind of this day and age. You know, it's impacted Texas State, you know, in a lot of sports, like everybody else at this level. It's funny, though, you mentioned, you know, the softball series coming up this weekend in Hattiesburg. And a year ago, Texas State softball team was not impacted by the portal. You know, a team that wound up winning the Sun Belt Conference Championship, they had retained every single player from the year before, which in this day and age is unheard of. And you see what happens when you're able to retain that kind of talent. You know, you're able to do some really special things. So softball program, you know, has been able to, you know, weather the storms of NIL and transfer portal and stuff like that to have success. Baseball, though, has, you know, it's been kind of a 50-50 split on the impact of it.
I guess Texas State kind of had a coach go into the transfer portal, too. obviously, David Pierce was hired to take over the Rice job mid-season. Did that have... If there was an impact, what was the impact for the Texas State program? How did that all kind of transpire to your knowledge?
Yeah, you know, obviously it was tough for the circumstances for David Pierce when things didn't work out, you know, at Texas, and Jim Schlossnagel came over and took things over at that program. But, you know, Texas State, obviously knowing the Texas program really well, they play each other 2-3 times a year. There's been a long-standing relationship, you know, with the coaching staff, you know, here at Texas State. So they were thrilled to bring him on board, you know, and have him be a part of this program and the knowledge that he could bring and the support, you know. So I know they were initially really excited about having him on board, but it's funny. It seems as quick as they got him in, he was gone. And it's really rare you see somebody, you know, take a head coaching job in the middle of a season, as it was the case of David Pierce going off to Rice. I know the C crowd is nothing but, you know, is supportive of his decision and happy for him and knows that, you know, he wanted to still continue to be a coach, and takes over a Rice program, which forever was great under Wayne Graham, but, you know, has fallen on hard times, you know, over the last 10 plus years or so. So they wish David Pierce the best. You know, kind of thing. I don't know how much of an impact it's had on a wins and losses standpoint necessarily, but I know it was a bit of a shock to the team when it first happened.
Brant, we're clearly in the second half of the Sun Belt Conference baseball season now. You got the Golden Eagles coming in there this weekend. How would you describe the rest of the season on the schedule for the Bobcats?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, again, this is a really difficult stretch of the schedule they're in right now. You know, these 3 straight weeks of, you know, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, and Southern Miss, 3 traditionally, you know, really great programs, the Sun Belt Conference. Still have a series looming later this year at Troy, which is going to be really tough, you know, as well. You know, the Trojans are playing extremely well so far this season. So, you know, that's life in the Sun Belt Conference, man. It's you know, it's been one of the top conferences, you know, in the country for good reason over the past several years, especially when, you know, when Southern Miss joined a couple of years ago. So, you know, big series this weekend, another tough series looming at Troy. Still have to play ULM and James Madison as well. You know, and you can't take any days off in this conference. You know, everybody can, you can be beaten at any given day, and you can beat anybody yourself in any given day. So it's going to be a tough stretch coming up, and it all starts this weekend against a really good Southern Miss program.
And I don't think you can argue that the Bobcats are playing their best baseball of the year so far, and the Eagles with a midweek loss at Alabama, and really a lot of road games that will culminate with this series this weekend in San Marcos. So the weather's going to be good, Brant tells us, and it should make for some great, hope for some great baseball. And may the best team win, as they say. Brant, thanks as always for sharing your insight, and have some good calls this weekend.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Brant Freeman, the radio voice of the Texas State Bobcats. When we come back, Andrew's going to get us up to date on the spring game. But are spring games on the college level going the way of the Buffalo? And we'll also check in on the first round of the Masters, where Hattiesburg native Davis Riley is playing in his first ever Masters. Don't forget, on the program tomorrow, Athletic Director Jeremy McClain. We'll wrap up the Eagle Hour after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
From the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg, Kelly Sander, Andrew Abity, and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Well, as Southern Miss fans, we're going to have our fill of Texas State this weekend. The guys on the road playing baseball in San Marcos. The women at home against the same Texas State team. A reminder that if you missed the live broadcast of the Eagle Hour on any of the Super Talk stations, you can always pick it up on the podcast. You can even set a reminder, my children tell me, that when the new podcast is available, it'll pop right up on your phone and you can save it. It's amazing the things that these phones can do these days. You can find them at Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can just ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Or if you're not sure that you heard something and you want to be able to refer to it back time and time again, you might want something in print. You like that segue? You guys stay informed with the Pine Belt News? Apparently not. Your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publications called Signature Magazine. You can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually if you live outside Forest or Lamar counties. Follow the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms. You can visit their website at hubcityspokes.com. News and notes, Davis Riley, the Hattiesburg native who prepped at Presbyterian Christian School and then played collegiately at Alabama, playing in his first Masters this year, has completed his first round at one over par. That is tied for good sound effect there, Andrew. Tied for 40th place, and good for Davis, because that's got to be intimidating, Andrew. The first time you ever play in the Masters and the prestige involved with the Masters, I would go out there and probably not. And I mean, I know he's a pro and he's won, you know, just about everywhere he's played, but still, it's got to be one over pretty good for a first round.
Selfishly, I would be really happy just to get the check.
Or just to be able to play in that tournament.
I have the Happy Gilmore mindset of golf. Like, oh, that's great. Give me like the $10,000 that the last place guy gets.
If you make the cut, I mean, you're guaranteed that, right?
So exactly.
And he's got half of those first two rounds over with. So spring game for Southern Miss this weekend. And we've talked about on this program how more and more college football spring games are evaporating. Not near as big a deal as they used to be. Good, bad, or indifferent, Andrew, you think, on these spring games?
Indifferent. I think it's for the traditionally, I think it's for the fans, but I do think, they're scrimmaging as this happens. So at this point, I think they have an idea of what they got, although it's a first-year coach here in Hattiesburg. But, I mean, to me, and Coach Huff has said it in as many words, this is basically like a four-month tryout for every person on this team. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that will be let go and hitting the portal after this. So, we'll see. We'll get to get an idea of what they look like. I haven't, we're not allowed to go to scrimmages anymore. So this will be the first time I really kind of get to see the team. From what I've understand, they're really deep in the skill positions, particularly wide receiver, defensive back, O-line, D-line, probably the two biggest question marks, which is a given.
And isn't that kind of – O and D-line are always the question marks on just about any team. They just don't make a lot of 350-pound guys.
I think O-line, that was a position that had to be revamped. And D-line was a spot they really didn't hit the portal too hard in. I think, they were just trying to get the best what they could find. And we'll probably see – I expect that position to probably be one of the busier ones.
It's reasonable to assume, though, I would think, that with this being Coach Huff's first year, that there would be – added interest, therefore perhaps bigger crowds at Saturday's game, especially if the weather is going to be as nice as they say.
Yeah, and I mean, Will Hall wasn't too big on the spring games. For him, it was more of a regular practice that just featured some scrimmaging. And Jay Hobson was probably the last time I saw a real spring game where they were trying to do everything similar to that of a real game. And he got about 8,000 people at that thing. So I don't know what to expect, because Hall's spring scrimmages probably brought around 2,000-3,000 maybe. I mean, it's something to do on a nice Saturday.
And why do you suppose that more and more D1 schools are kind of doing away with the formality of a spring game?
Transfer portal. Their kids are getting poached. I mean, that's why all the big schools are getting rid of it. Meanwhile, Deion Sanders and Syracuse were at Colorado were trying to have a scrimmage between the two schools, and the NCAA wouldn't allow them to play, which I think is silly.
Well, why would it matter who you're scrimmaging?
I completely agree with you on that. But the NCAA wouldn't allow for that to happen.
Well, at least they're decisive on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a missed opportunity, if anything.
And you could actually charge money to perhaps buffer your NIL or something if they structured it that way.
I mean, I'd argue if you're – say there's maybe five of those a year. Like, that's the exposure alone on just an ESPN broadcast, I think, is worth its weight in gold.
A reminder, tomorrow on the program, Jeremy McClain for most, if not all, of the hour tomorrow. Put you on the hot seat here, young Jedi. The top question on your list for Jeremy McClain tomorrow would be what?
Top question? I mean, I got a lot of them.
Yeah, I know you do, and as we all do. But what... if you could only ask him one, if he said, I'll answer one question.
Probably, I guess the most pressing is what's going on with Reed Green Coliseum.
Okay.
So that's the way I would phrase it. And I mean, there's tons to ask. The two basketball coaching decisions.
There's been a lot of hotel motel tax go into that Reed Green Coliseum, and I haven't seen a blade of grass.
Well, I've seen them work on the roof, which was going to take a while. There's being on the baseball committee. That's going to be a big thing coming up. I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, the settlement, the looming settlement, what that means for
just,
them.
Just one, Andrew.
Yeah,
just
I know.
One.
Okay. I know.
We'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow with Jeremy McClain. That's tomorrow at 1 or on podcast. From all of us to all of you, have a great, great Thursday. Until tomorrow at 1, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.